Scripture reading. From 2 Corinthians. Chapter 9, verses 6 to 8. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work.
第2コリント人への手紙9章6節から8節。私はこう考えます。少しだけまくものは少しだけ刈り取り、豊かにまくものは豊かに刈り取ります。一人一人いやいやながらでなく、強いられてでもなく、心で決めた通りにしなさい。神は喜んで与える人を愛してくださいます。神はあなた方を常にすべてのことに満ち足りて、すべての良い技にあふれるものとするために、あらゆる恵みをあふれるばかり与えることのできる方です。
Morning.
Morning.
How about we all stand and greet our neighbors?
Your team didn't do so well, I guess. That's passing on.
I got over there after we got beat.
We still got next year, right?
Huh?
They're going to be better next year, right?
Oh, yeah. That season's over. Now comes basketball and baseball.
Yep.
Go Thunder.
So most of you know my in-laws are here. This is my father-in-law, mother-in-law. So if I mess up, it's because I'm nervous. And it's their fault. No, but I'm sure you've heard, if you've heard me smoke, then you know about these two, because they're just excellent examples of faith. And you'll hear their stories in a little bit. But today I want to continue to talk about foundations to a healthy spiritual life. And today we're going to talk about worship that releases supernatural provision. Worship that releases supernatural provision. Let me pray though. Father, we thank you so much for your grace. Yes, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for bringing us here today and just allowing us to worship you. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence. We pray, Lord, you'd fill our hearts. You'd fill this place, Lord. We ask for an increase of your presence, increase in faith, increase in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, and we just lift your name up on high, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
And this is a series that we're continuing. In growing in the fullness of Christ, I talked about the foundations to a healthy church. And the goal and the purpose of church is to become the fullness of Christ. That when we get together, when we worship, when we hear the word, when we pray, when we fellowship, when we discipleship, that's all for the purpose of growing into the full measure of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And so today, I want to talk about how worship helps us in that, in fulfilling that purpose. Last week, we talked about the Word. This week, I want to talk about worship and what role does worship bring in this purpose of becoming more like Jesus. You see in this passage in Luke 4:5, one of the first temptations Jesus faced was in worship. After he's baptized, he gets led into the wilderness, and something tempts him. Satan tempts him. Well, I don't know whether he came in a physical form or just a voice. It doesn't say. But we see in Luke 4 or 5, let me read. It says, the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. It's interesting, Jesus doesn't correct him in this. He doesn't challenge this statement Satan makes. But Satan says, if you worship me, it will be all yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Amen. Again, one of the first temptations Jesus faced was in this area of worship. It's interesting what happens. So Satan comes to Jesus, and Satan apparently knows what Jesus is here for, to redeem the earth and humanity. And he says, I can give it to you, which implies you don't have to take the cross. Interesting, isn't it? I could give this all to you. A shortcut, if you will. We've seen many athletes fail in this area of shortcuts. Amen?
Amen.
Just recently, Lance Armstrong came out on Oprah and confessed, I did take performance-enhancing drugs that were illegal to take. Many baseball athletes, professional athletes, have been marred by HGH. I'm glad Jesus didn't fail here. I will give you this earth, but it was in return for heaven, basically. An eternal, Jesus had an eternal perspective when it came to this, and he said no. Worship the Lord your God. And it has, I believe, to do with value, worth. We worship what is worthy to be worshipped, and Jesus valued more than this world can offer. But I believe, and I want to talk about worship and giving today, but I believe if we begin to worship well, it'll bring wellness in every area of our lives. If we worship well, it'll bring wellness in every area of our lives. And it's simply because all of life can be lived worshipfully. All of life can be lived worshipfully. But I want to talk about three areas. Worship through giving this week, worship through singing next week, and worship through serving the following. And this is not a comprehensive list. I'm sure there's worship through many other aspects, but I want to talk about giving, singing, and serving these next 3 weeks. Today I want to talk about worship through giving. And I want to talk about how when we worship through giving, it will release the supernatural provision of God. When we worship through giving, it will release the supernatural provision of God. And I am speaking more out of what the scripture says rather than my own experience, although I have experienced it, not as much as Greg and Mary Malone has experienced it. And you'll hear their stories soon. And so what I'm trying to say is their sermon will get better. just wait till they come up. But I want to show through the scripture that giving is a form of worship. That giving is a form of worship. Not only will it release supernatural provision, it will propel us into supernatural position in heaven. But before we talk about the provision and position, I want to talk about what the Bible says. Man, let me tell you, I'm not nervous because of these people. I mean, they make me nervous enough. But I mean, when I talk about giving, it's like all of a sudden, you know, hands starts crossing, people start looking to the ground. Don't worry, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to the person next to you, okay? All right? Man. I've been here, this is, by the way, I should have said this earlier, this is my 1 year anniversary here. It's been one full year. And so I finally felt a little comfortable talking about giving. That year before I was talking about love, talking about Jesus, and today I want to talk about giving, and I want you to trust me. If you're not going to trust me, trust what the Word says. Amen? Amen. Trust what the Word says. John 4:23-24 says this, "A time is coming, and now has come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshiper the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." And what does that mean? Simply, we don't worship how we feel like worshiping. There are a lot of people that go through life thinking they can worship however they want to worship. There are people that choose not to go to church because they don't think the Bible tells us to. And they feel like they could do whatever they want. But Scripture is clear. Worship in spirit and truth means, first, worship in Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. And truth, I believe, means through the revealed Word of God. I believe God teaches us not just to worship, but how to worship. And today I want to show you through the Bible that giving is a form of worship. Scripture is clear about. And it's found throughout the Bible. I'm going to give you just a short summary of the Bible. It's not even a summary, just several passages throughout the New Testament and Old Testament about giving as a form of worship. Now, if you're not familiar, there's two words. There's offering and tithe. Are you guys familiar with those words? Tithe is 10%. Offering is basically anything above and beyond 10% and for other occasions. But a tithe was 10% of everything you made, and an offering was for other areas of giving. Make sense?
Yep.
You know, I really want to be very clear. I don't want to miscommunicate what I want to say today because, giving, it does hit a spot in people's heart, and I understand that. I mean, when I hear people talk about giving, it hits me too. I get kind of guarded, especially since, I'm going to be honest, since the church has misused it. The Catholic Church has misused it. We're born from the Catholic Church. And a Protestant church, televangelist has misused it. It's been misused, I understand. And so it is a sensitive subject. But I do want us to understand that giving is biblical. And it's powerful. And it's a way of worship. The first mention of offering is found in Genesis 4:25. Most of you know this story. It's with Cain and Abel. Cain brings an offering of the ground, fruits and vegetables, I believe. Abel brings his offering, and it's the fat portion. He was a herder. And it says in Genesis 4:25 that God looked upon Abel's offering with favor. Now, it's not clear why he did that. It's not explicitly clear why God did. Most scholars would say something like, it's probably because Abel brought his best. Whether that's the case or not, we don't know. We know this, though, for sure, that their giving caused a reaction in God's heart. That God looked upon one giving and wasn't as pleased as another giving. And in both cases, there was a reaction in God's heart. So giving does produce a reaction in God. And with Abel, when Abel gave, it seemed like God was happy. Imagine that, making God happy through giving. Amen. I'm a man after God's own heart because I love getting. No, just kidding. All right. Anyways, that was a joke. Not really, though. I love getting. We look further, and the first time a tithe is mentioned is in Genesis 14:20, and this is before Moses gave the law. This is before Leviticus, Deuteronomy. This is Abraham rescues his nephew Lot, plunders those that took Lot, and gives a tenth to a priest named Melchizedek. We don't know too much about Melchizedek, but we know that Abraham gives a tenth. And that's where the first mention of a tithe. And scholars have said, because Abraham gave a tenth, it's probably likely that other surrounding religions were giving a tenth to their gods. And Abraham was just simply doing what other religion does. And to my knowledge, I believe every religion gives as a form of worship. Every religion. I believe every religion prays as a form of worship too, right? So giving is something universally just accepted as a form of worship. Leviticus, Deuteronomy, I'm going to try to go through this faster, but Leviticus and Deuteronomy, that's where God gives the law through Moses, and it gives you all the prescription of giving, tithing. You could redeem a tithe because tithing usually meant what grew out from the land. Usually giving of your animals were an offering more than a tithe. But a tithe can be redeemed for 15% in currency, if that makes sense. If we go further in Proverbs 11:24-25, it says, and this I believe is more of a spiritual principle than anything else. It says, one person gives freely yet gains even more, another withholds unduly but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Amen. The last book in the Old Testament, Malachi, it talks about God rebuking the people for bringing in bad offerings. Actually, he rebukes the priest for bringing in bad offerings. And bad offerings were lame sheep, blind goats, etc., etc. They weren't the best. If there was a flawed animal, the priest, they would offer that up. And God was, he was displeased. He was angry. And it also in Malachi, it talks about holding back the tithe, the 10%. And it also offers a test and a promise. It says, you bring in the full tithes and offering, and I'll open the window gates of heaven and bless you. So much that your storage house won't even be able to contain it. And we look at the New Testament. When Jesus was born, we see the wise men come and bring gifts as a form of worship. Frankincense, incense, and myrrh. Matthew 19:21, let me just read it. It says, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possession to the poor and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, then come follow me. Which is very interesting. And I believe in giving, we need to catch this. You guys recognize this passage, where it's from? It's with a rich young ruler, right? He comes to Jesus and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answers him, what does the commandment say? And he says, I've kept those. And Jesus looked at him, loved him, and he gives us this answer. If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. To my knowledge, the Old Testament does not mention treasures in heaven. Jesus brings a fresh new perspective in giving. And it's something I think we need to catch as a church. And it's an eternal perspective. That this world is temporary. You know that, right? You know one day you guys are going to die, right? Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I pray it's not soon. But let me tell you, 100% of the people have died. Well, let me. Biblically, 99.99999% of the people have died. Very few have not died. Maybe two. And one rose again and never, and is eternal. Those of you who read the Bible, they get my jokes. I'm sorry. I'm giving you seminary jokes. That's my bad. All right. Anyways, Jesus gives a fresh new perspective. I'm glad you guys are here. You guys laugh at my jokes. After a year, you guys will be quiet just like everyone else. Anyways. So what happened is Jesus gives a fresh new perspective. There is another world coming. Jesus calls it a new heaven and a new earth. And he gives a promise, the meek shall inherit the earth. There's an inheritance coming. And he says, there are ways to store up treasures in this new heaven, new earth. And if we don't catch that perspective, we won't truly understand the power of giving. But let me move on. In Philippians 4:18 it says, let me just read. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphras the gift you sent. And this is what I want to get. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Again, giving as a form of worship. And Paul says it's a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, and pleasing to God. So we see throughout Old Testament, New Testament, giving was a form of worship. And we come to our passage today, which is in 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. And this is where I want to talk about the supernatural provision released through giving. But let me read. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things and in all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As you read through the New Testament, and you read the apostles teach, it's interesting. They teach about circumcision, which was very important in Jewish law, right? And what about circumcision? It's not necessary anymore. They talk about certain foods that you see in the Levitical laws. And what do they say about that? That all food are clean now, that you can eat food. Whether the Levitical law says it's unclean or not, God has made all things clean. And we come to this portion in tithing, and there is a debate. Let me tell you, as I was doing research on this, there are people that are for tithing, and there are people that are against tithing. Let me give you my perspective, which is here. I am a soft non-tither, meaning I tithe. Don't look at me like that. Okay. I tithe, okay? But I believe the requirements of the Old Testament tithe and offering have been paid in full by Jesus. Now again, I might change my I say I'm soft on this because I may change my mind next week. And I say that because Paul never mentions it. And I believe it would have been wise for him to mention it, since there were Gentile believers that were in his church, as well as Jewish believers. And I'm sure there were times when Jewish believers came and asked him a question about tithing. And it would have been good for either Paul, Peter, James, John, somebody to talk about it. Jesus mentions tithing, and in both times when he mentions it, he is more correcting. You know, it was more, you think you're righteous because you're tithing kind of thing. Because they were self-righteously saying, we tithe. Jesus wasn't saying you shouldn't tithe. He's saying you should tithe, but your righteousness comes from something else. Anyways. You know, you can make the argument both ways, though. Because people probably were tithing. Make sense? You know, Jewish people, they were circumcising. They were staying away from unclean food. They were most likely tithing. And so if it wasn't, you know, something that wasn't necessary, Paul should have said, you know, tithing isn't necessary because people were probably tithing. Does that make sense? Am I communicating well? Okay, good. Anyways, John 1:17 says, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And you know what the grace part is? You can give whatever your heart tells you to give. That is grace. But let me tell you about truth. The truth is, the supernatural provision of God comes, I believe, when you give sacrificially. And for some of us, that's well beyond a tithe. Does that make sense? You know, we live under a better covenant than the Old Testament. So even though I believe the Old Testament tithe and offering have been paid in full by Jesus, and each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, meaning, you know what? There isn't that stringent law anymore about a tithe. But, and we go to the next slide, but if you want the supernatural provision of God to be released in your life, if you want to store up treasures in heaven, if you want to be free from the spirit of covetousness, and I haven't spoken on that, and if you desire your offering to be as pleasing fragrance, 2 Corinthians 9:6 is very clear. It says this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. But whoever sows generously will reap generously. I'm just telling you what the word says. This is what the Bible says. Meaning, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Amen. When we give sparingly, we receive sparingly. And this is a spiritual principle. It's not just for money. But in context, it is about money. Meaning, you want grace in your life? Sow grace. You want mercy in your life? Sow mercy. You want more love in your life? Sow love. God is saying, you will reap what you sow. And in the context of money, when you give generously, and throughout the Old Testament, it's very clear, when you give generously, God is able and will bless you generously. But if you don't give, and you give sparingly, you'll get what you sow. You'll reap what you sow. So something to take home with. Some practical steps of giving. What we should do next time you want to worship through giving is, one, remember to give with an eternal perspective.
Amen.
We are living in a world that is going to one day be rolled up, be wiped away. And there will be a new earth and a new heaven. And your bank account in your new earth and new heaven is directly related to what you do here. That our temporary life here will affect our eternal position there. That's very important. I don't want any of you asking to borrow money in the new heaven, new earth, because you did not sow enough here, okay? Me and my wife, our goal is to be rich in the new heaven and new earth, okay? You guys could come over, but you can't stay. Just saying. I want all of us to be rich in the new heaven, new earth.
Amen.
All of us to have an abundance, a treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not come in and steal. Two, remember to be led by the Spirit, and by asking God, how much do you want me to give? Simply ask God, how much do you want me to give? Some of you right now, maybe you can't afford a tithe. I'm not saying the law requires you to, okay? But ask God, okay, God, this is a good prayer, write it down. I'll remember it. God, I can't afford a tithe, but how much do you want me to give? And Lord, I want to be able to give 50% one day. Amen. Amen. That's a good prayer. You think he's going to say no to that prayer? Come on. He will not say no. But ask him. And listen. If he says to give everything, say, okay, Lord, give me an action plan. Give me the next step. Don't blindly say, okay, I'm going to sell everything and give it to you. Don't do that. I'm telling you now. If a church ever preaches that, if a teacher ever tells you to do that, don't do it. If the Holy Spirit, you feel the Holy Spirit tell you that, ask the Holy Spirit, okay, what's next? Amen? You guys don't seem like, okay. That's a good question to ask the Lord. And if the Lord... And let me tell you why. Because sometimes when you pray, it's not the Holy Spirit that's always talking to you. I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes it's the flesh and sometimes it's something else. And so when you pray and you hear something that extreme, just ask, okay, Lord, what's the next step then? Before, especially if you have kids, especially if you have parents that you need to take care of, if you're like Hiro, that's a student, maybe you can do it, okay? Because he doesn't have responsibility outside of himself. But if you have responsibilities, then you have to ask, what's the next step? That's just wisdom. And that's biblical wisdom too, not just humanly wisdom, that's biblical wisdom. And so ask, okay, if it's everything, how much, Lord? If you pray and ask, Lord, how much do you want me to give me? And if you go to the next extreme, nothing, then you gotta say again, okay, Lord, why? Everything, okay, what's the next step? Nothing, okay, Lord, why? If he gives you a reasonable amount that may be a little bit beyond your abilities, that's a safer bet than nothing or everything, okay? I'm just giving you some tips on how to be led by the Spirit, because those two extremes are very dangerous. Giving nothing is just as dangerous as giving everything. Because the scripture says, give. Give cheerfully. Give what you can. Give what your heart decides to. Led by the Spirit, I believe. And third, like it says, give cheerfully. Why? Because you can never outgive God. Amen. So if the Lord tells you to give a certain amount that you can't really afford, you know, we oftentimes get stressed out. No, just me? Okay, just me. Okay. I oftentimes get stressed out, okay? Just giving you my experience on giving. And, you know, honestly, I sometimes psych myself out and say, okay, maybe that wasn't the Lord. You know, there was one time when we did this at church, and I wasn't rich, not like I'm rich now. Okay. But I felt the Lord give me a specific number that was pretty significant at the time. And I felt I heard God clearly. And it wasn't like give everything, you know, it was just a large amount. And I said, okay. And when the time came and the basket started coming, I said, man, is that really you, God? And I tried to talk myself out of it. A lot of times you're going to talk yourself out of a blessing. When you give, you can never outgive God, especially if it's what God asks. And when you give, it says God loves a cheerful giver. And we saw throughout Scripture, God is pleased with giving. It was a fragrant offering in one case. It was looked upon with favor in another case. There's other stories about giving that I haven't got to, but there are just numerous stories of how giving is a powerful way of worshiping God and also releasing provision and propelling you to a heavenly position that you wouldn't otherwise have been in if you hadn't given. And now, as we close, I gave you some a biblical perspective, but I want to honestly, I'm not an overcomer yet in this area. I'm still growing. I'm young. Hopefully, by the time I'm 49, like Greg. By the time I'm, you know, by the time I'm 10 years older, 15 years older, I hope to be an overcomer. I hope to have a lot of testimonies of giving and seeing God's provision. But we do have, I'm going to invite Greg Malone up, and he'll give some of his stories of just how he's overcome. And Greg, maybe after you give some of your testimony, if you could just impart the ability to give and receive generously. Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, good word, Aki. Mary just whispered in my ear, just tell them how proud we are of Aki and Mandy. And anyhow, we are. We're just so thankful that they came here and loved on you guys, and their heart is for you. I'll have you know that. I mean, their heart is for you guys. It's for doing God's work here. And so, Lord, continue to bless them and cause them to be a blessing, Lord. Aki asked me to share some of my stories and told me I had at least an hour, right, Aki? But I want to cover some scripture first. You hearing me okay there? I want to cover some scripture. The first one's in Malachi, if you want to turn with me to Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. And I just want to share with you some things I've noticed in the Word in regards to giving. And I'm going to read this because the Word has power. The Word has power. There's power in the Word of God, and it's good for us to hear the Word of God. I'm going to start in chapter 3, verse 6. This is NIV version. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return to you? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? in tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. See the purpose of giving to God? that the needs are met, you know, that people that are trusting in Him. It talks about giving to orphans and widows, and, you know, that's God's storehouse. The church is God's storehouse. I mean, it's part of His storehouse. A small part, but it is part of His. And I'm going to read on from there. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. There isn't too many places God asked to be tested, but here He's asking that we would test Him in this. Says the Lord Almighty, see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing on you that you'll not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. The vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord, yet you asked, what have we said against you? You have said it is futile to serve the Lord. What did we gain by carrying out His requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. And this next verse I want you to really pay close attention to. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened. A scroll of remembrance was written in His presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored His name. I'm going to just stop there. God remembers. God has a scroll of remembrance. He remembers. And it says when they got together and talked, I'm going to guess they talked about what He first addressed them with, and that was, you know, about giving unto Him. In verse 6, you know, I would guess that's what they were talking about. And there was a change of heart and mind, I believe, when they talked with one another. And if we read on, I'm just gonna jump to another piece of Scripture here. That piece of Scripture will be in Acts chapter 10, verse 4. Maybe I'll start in verse 1. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. About 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before me. Remember that scroll of remembrance? Mm-hmm. And now we're talking about, these gifts coming up as a memorial offering before God. I mean, this had gotten God's attention, this man praying and giving to the poor. And, anyway, if you go on to read what happens, I'm just going to paraphrase. Sometime when you're at home, you can just read the rest of this. But what happened in this situation was that God poured out the Holy Spirit on these people, on His relatives. And I see that as a direct result of His giving and reaping a spiritual blessing from a physical giving. And anyway, my wife and I, our heart is just in seeing His kingdom come. And when we talk about finances and giving and tithing, it's like, it's all about His kingdom coming. I want to see His kingdom come. And the way we see His kingdom coming is by giving to those in need, and they are drawn to the Lord and look at God as being their provider. You know, I mean, it touches people when you give to them, and when there's a real need and you give to them. And I want to just talk a little bit about where I started off in the giving part, and I want to just cover a little bit of. I grew up in the Catholic Church, and my dad, he raised 13 children, and he didn't have much money. It was pretty tough times. I mean, I remember going to bed hungry a lot. So my heart is really towards the poor and those in need. I guess feeding children overseas has been my wife and I. It's really been on our hearts to do that since we've come to know Christ. But starting back then, so I kind of had a heart for people with need because of going through hard times. And when I was about 15 years old, I went into a business with my brother. And I just see that, I wasn't a tither back then, but God was trying to get me to a place where I needed to be. And I think God sees into the future. I know He does, and sees our heart and where He wants us to be. But when I was a senior then, I sold my business and basically paid cash for a brand new pickup, drove to Alaska, and I was trying to get as far away from God as I could. That was my goal. And thinking God was not in Alaska, but the Jesus people from California moved in next door to us up in Alaska, 50 of them, and started telling us how we needed to know Christ, how we needed to be born again. But their deal was that you give everything that you have to the kitty, to their kitty. Wow, I couldn't go there. I had a brand new track. I can understand what the rich young ruler felt like. It's like, I can't do that, And so I didn't come to know Christ at that time either, because I thought the two are connected, and really, I know they're not, but it was, that's the way I understood it at the time. So, but just taking it from there, 10 years later, I was married and we had 3 children, and I did accept Christ through a set of circumstances, and Mary did at the same time. We both prayed to receive Christ. It was just such an awesome change in our lives, and we were born again in 1983, so what an awesome time. But then God started to we started hearing teachings on giving, by the way, prior to that, if I gave $10 on a Sunday, I thought that was just awesome. And for some people it is, but back then it was, I could have afforded to give more than that. But then we heard about this tithing thing, which was foreign to us. Maybe I just hadn't heard it, and maybe they talked about it in the Catholic Church. I don't know, but I never heard about it, never went there. So the Lord just started working on my heart about tithing, and I thought, well, okay, that's a lot of money. And how do you tithe? Do you tithe off from, as far as in the farming business, we're talking, handle hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. So it's like, do you tithe off from that, or do you tithe off from what you're living on, or whatever? I don't know just how we started with giving, but we just started giving, I guess, off from what we live on, and then God started challenging us to give off from our cattle sales. I thought, wow, that's a lot of money. Most people operate off from 10%, as far as profit margin. So I was trying to figure all this out, and I thought, well, God, okay, tithing. So I had some cattle for sale, and I thought, and I had a loan due at the bank. Back then, $10,083 was a lot of money compared with what we handle now, just because the business grows and stuff. But back then, I had a note that was due for $10,000, and I was thinking, okay, I'm going to sell a certain amount of cattle and pay this off. And so I told Mary, I said, I think I'm going to ask $1,000 a piece for these cows. And And I'd made up my mind in our heart, we made up our mind that we were going to tithe, start tithing off from cattle sales. So this was kind of our first venture into this. And so I advertised them. I told Mary I was going to advertise them for $1,000 a piece. And she goes, "Boy, that seems like a lot." She says, "You know, have you prayed about that?" And I said, "Well, no, I hadn't, but..." I said, "Yeah, okay, I'll pray about that." And so I went upstairs and got beside the bed, and I just said, "God, you know, is $1,000 too much?" And, you know, some people can say, "Well, there's an audible voice," whatever. It wasn't. It was just like it comes back to my heart. No, it's not too much, but you'd ask $1,300 instead. And I thought, okay, nobody's going to pay that. I mean, that's my first thought. It was, you know, beyond what the markets could afford. And... So I went back down and told Mary. I said, "Well, I felt God say to ask $1,300 instead of $1,000. She goes, "Okay, if you know that's what you felt, go ahead and ask that." So I asked the $1,300, and I had the banknote was due in a few weeks. Well, the banknote was already due by now, so we prayed, "God, you know, just keep the banker happy till we get the money." Kind of a chicken prayer, you know, but whatever. God still honored it. And a few people called and said, "How much are you asking?" Like, "That is ridiculous, you know." That, I think I got 2-3 calls, and they were all about the same. And finally, after 6 weeks, I just said, "You know what, God, I just give up on this deal. It's like, doesn't look like it's happening, and I must have misheard you or something." And I thought, you know, I said, I just give it to you. And I'm still on my knees. I went back up, you know, like the woman in the story with Elijah, how she laid the boy on Elijah's bed, you know, kind of. It's like you go back to where you first got the word. And I went back by the bed and I was praying. And I said, "God, you know, I just give up on this. I just give it to you." And I'm on my knees and the phone rings. And I go downstairs and answer it. And the guy says, "Hey, you still have those cattle for sale?" And I said, "I do." And he says, "Well, how much are you asking for them?" I said, $1,300 a piece. And he goes, "I'll be right there." And he came, and in the meantime, 8 of these had had babies, which were worth quite a bit of money. So I've got the 8 more calves, plus I got the $1,300, so he paid me the $1,300. I got $300 a piece more than I planned. And I'm on my way up to the house with the check in my hand, and the banker called. So it was like God just met us where we challenged him and where we trusted him. And so we look at, Mary and I really look at it as being an adventure to give to God. That's the way we look at it. We're excited about when we give. It's like, you know, God, what are you going to do here? You know, it's like, you know. Not that we haven't been through hard times, because we have, but we've seen the floodgates of heaven open the last 5 years. It's just like, God, how could this be? How could this? It's beyond what I've ever dreamt, you know. And I can't say that. I can't say that it's like. You know, and I want you to know that I don't live a perfect life, and my wife will testify to that. But yet. God, out of his love, I mean, out of his kindness, has just taken us into new areas with our giving as far as trusting him. I mean, now the things, he has us in the marketing realm of the business. And I get excited when I see young people and the possibilities that are out there for the kingdom of God, just like you, brother, with the doctor business there, you know, going into the medical field. It's like, I get excited about where God, how God's going to further his kingdom through that and, you know, through what you're doing there. And I know there's other stories maybe, you know, to share and stuff too, Aki, but... it seems like the further, and not that it's been easy. Even in the last 5 years, we've been taken more into the marketing realm of things. And there are days when I'm just beside myself. I go, "Lord, I'm not cut out for this." I mean, it's like, wow. With the marketing end of it, we've got the product and we've got it stored uptown, and just the price fluctuation in a day will be $30,000 a day. I mean, in two bad days, you're backward $70,000, you know, and I'm thinking, God, how am I going to get out of this now? And it's like, God knows my heart, because I'm not trying to do this to gain for myself. I'm concerned about His kingdom, and I'm thinking, Lord, what a waste to miss this money for Your kingdom. You know, I mean, that's the mentality that I have, is I'm, you know, Lord, I don't want to miss this for Your kingdom. And the last few, like 2 years ago, just to show you how God's kindness in the marketing end of things, we're praying about what we should, the price, you know, where we should unload at, where we should sell at. And He brought us within 1 penny of the top of the market, which, I mean, most people in the marketing end, this is their striving to try for this, you know, figure to be as close as they can. And I can say that it was all through Mary and I praying about it, Lord. And that's one neat thing about husband and wife, using each other as a soundboard, you know, God, speak to her, Mary then too. If that's what You're, you know, giving to me, then speak that to Mary's heart. And then we'll come together and say, well, this is what I felt and this is what I felt. And if we're not in agreement, we'll go back in prayer again. Seek God's face again. It's like, Lord, we want to hear from You and know that, you know, yeah, this is You and where You want to take us. So with that, I think I'll leave it at that. And I just, walking with God's exciting. What can I say? Impartation. Yeah, I was going to do that, brother. Yeah. So, Father, we just come before You. And, Lord, we're so thankful that we've gotten to see Your kindness, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for each one here, Lord God, that, Father, that You would fill them with ideas, Lord God, on how to prosper, to bless Your kingdom. Lord, that You'd bless each business that's represented here, Lord. Each household that's represented here, Father. God, that You would just pour out Your Spirit, Lord. That You'd pour out a spirit of wisdom and revelation, Father. And God, as Aki said, that we might think about the treasures in heaven, that we get to keep that which we give away, Lord. That we might live with that mindset, Father. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. And Lord, I just pray any other needs that are here this morning, God, that Father, that You would just meet them in a special way today, Lord. That, God, that You would prove Yourself to them through Your love, Lord. Through the way that You touch them today, Lord. Might each person go home touched by You today, Father. That no one would go home with lack, Lord, of feeling Your presence and love today, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Greg.